Testing in the House Chamber, 149th Legislative Day.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant at Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Carter. We'd ask our members and our visitors in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance thereafter. Representative Carter.
Let us pray. Fathers, we do come before your throne this morning. As always, we want to thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness. And we're so thankful that the Bible tells us that you remember that we're but dust. Help us, Lord, to remember who we are, what we are, and whose we are. I just pray today for your guidance, for your leadership, and all things that we do, especially here in this chamber, that, dear Lord, that you would guide our thoughts, guide our hearts, and our direction. Today, Lord, we just want to thank you once again for our law enforcement. We pray for their protection. All those, dear Lord, that put their lives on the line, the military, the police, and even the EMS, and others here at the Capitol Police, we pray for them. But, dear God, that you just put a hedge about them as only you can, as they are servants of God also. This morning, bless this time we're together. Help us, the decisions we make. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for October 23rd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for October 23rd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Ratification bills and resolutions. Actually, we'll need to suspend with that. I don't believe the enrolling clerk is here. Members, Chair, if the House will come to order very quick on today's calendar, at the request of the bill sponsor, the Chair is going to remove House Bill 959. The short title of that bill is the exempt cemetery property. Remove it from today's calendar and calendar it for Monday evening. Messages from the Senate. Corporal Reed.
House Bill 511, Senate Committee Substitute Number 3, 5th Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to increase judicial discretion in sentencing for drug trafficking offenses for concurrence in the Senate Committee Substitute Number 3.
Bill is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Members, we have a recognition of a group in the gallery. We have a group of young men here from the Wake Young Men's Leadership Academy based here in Raleigh. Want to welcome them. If y'all would stand up so we could welcome you and thank you for being with us today. And you're the Wake County representatives. If the Wake County representatives would wave or stand up so they can see those are your representatives from Wake County. You have a large group from Big County. Calendar, House Bill 399. The clerk will read.
Representatives Ross, Bell, Warren, and Adams, House Bill 399, a bill to be entitled an act to make certain tax changes or extend certain tax benefits and to appropriate funds for collections assistance fee special fund to the Department of Revenue, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Davie, Representative Howard, is recognized for a motion. Just a moment. Members, we're now into business. Lady has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, we had a we had a good vote on the motion to concur yesterday, and I hope that folks will follow suit today.
The lady has moved that the House do concur with House Bill 399 on third reading. For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
See if the sponsor would answer a question.
Representative Howard, the lady yield?
Yes, sir.
She yields.
I'm sorry, I wasn't here yesterday for your good for the good vote. I want to make sure that I understand a part of it, and that's the tax incentives, the incentives that we're giving to a company, we're not even going to tax that as income. Is that what this is doing?
That's correct. That's the way it was through 17, and then the federal government made a change, and they started taxing the grants in 18. So we're just decoupling from the federal government, and we're going to continue to do the same thing that we've done over all these years and not tax the JD grants. That's correct.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage on third reading of the conference report to House Bill 399. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will machine record the vote. 93, having voted in the affirmative and 8 in the negative, the House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 399 on its third reading. The Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 690, clerk will read.
Senate Bill 690. A bill to be entitled Modifications to the 2019 Appointment Bill, General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, the title is exactly what the bill does. It simply corrects some names of appointees from an earlier appointment bill. It's standard stuff, and I would urge the members to support this report. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House is the adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 690. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine, record the vote. 102 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 690 is adopted, and the Senate will be so notified. House Bill 398, clerk will read.
Representatives Arp, Zoka, Sane, and Barnes, House Bill 398, a bill to maintain an act consistent with the House Bill 966, 2019 regular session, to make appropriations for the Department of Information Technology and Information Technology Projects, General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
For what purpose the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sane, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. The IT information technology budget provisions from 966 were funding for the Department of Information Technology that totals $67.4 million in fiscal year 19 through 20, or 26.8% above the fiscal year 19-20 base budget, and is $68.9 million in 20, 20 and 21, or 3% above the fiscal year 19-20 conference budget proposal. What it does, it provides $11.1 million over the biennium for North Carolina Health Connects, Criminal Justice Information Network, cybersecurity upgrades, 3 data analytic positions, 1 Office of Administration Technology support position, and North Carolina Outcomes Longitudinal Data System. It also provides a directed grant to Montreat College for the Cybersecurity Regional Training Center. The PCS also includes funds, the State Controller ERP system, and appropriates $7.6 million in fiscal year 1920 and $42 in 2021 to the Office of State Controller to complete the development of the statewide enterprise resource planning information technology budget, project. This project was previously funded in another section of 966 in the reserves. It also funds DPI Business System Modernization Plan, which was previously funded in the education portion of 966, and provides funding for the implementation of the School Business System Modernization Plan. I just urge your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, I'll go ahead and call. For what purpose, the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery Rice?
Ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Sainz, gentleman yield.
How will you?
He yields.
Representative Sainz, could you help me understand how we decided to allocate funds to Montreat College for the cybersecurity?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Thank you. So in the last budget, we passed $2 million that started this project. We had some discussion about it. The Cybersecurity Center is a center of excellence. Montreat College had approached the members of the legislature, had talked with members of our federal delegation, our U.S. Senator, and also our congressman for that area. And as they were working through the discussions about what they wanted to create, a Cybersecurity Center of Excellence that will essentially be a Cybersecurity Center of Excellence that produces experts in the field of cybersecurity that we badly need. Montreat came to the legislature. I also made sure that they had multiple conversations with our Department of Information Technology, also with Governor Cooper's folks, to make sure that we were kind of on the same place as where we needed to go with this project. Essentially, what we're doing is helping secure some of the federal funding that would also be associated with that project. As you may be aware, just last week, Columbus County School Systems, and I know that Representative Jones is painfully aware because he's had to be in the middle of that and try to help and assist, and our Department of Information Technology has been wonderful in these instances of cyber security breaches. But we do lack, we have a very serious lack of talent in the cybersecurity world. What we also have noticed, and it was some discussion, I had a reporter ask me about why we weren't putting money into some of our public universities in this. Well, the reality is none of them approached us about that. But I have had several conversations. It is a joint, kind of joint venture, public-private partnership. There are relationships with our university system. I know that UNC Charlotte, as a matter of fact, I was introduced to the representative from Montreat at a UNC Charlotte cybersecurity symposium when I was first approached about this idea several years ago. So we worked very diligently to make sure that we've included and had multiple conversations on this project. And so I appreciate the conversation, but that's kind of the genesis of where this came from. I appreciate the gentleman's question.
Follow-up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman yield.
I yield.
He yields.
You mentioned the second part of the question I was going to ask in reference to actually our state-funded UNC system schools, because from my understanding, we have about 6 institutions, both 4-year and technical institutions, that have some type of cybersecurity programs currently. And I'm glad for the background that you offered, but wouldn't it make more sense that we infuse these funds within our state institutions to embolden their ability to educate and train the very students that you state that we need so badly across the state in this particular area?
Yeah, I appreciate the gentleman's question, and I'll give you a little longer explanation as to why, because I asked the same question when this article came out that some enterprising reporter out of Asheville, an investigative reporter, was calling me about it. I didn't speak to him, didn't recognize the organization that he's representing, but seeing the article, and referenced a comment from a professor at University of North Carolina at Charlotte. So being a Charlotte alum, I and also former owner of a newspaper, I thought, well, let me do my own investigation as to why this is being raised as an issue. Because, again, I did not, as an former IT chairman, but also as an appropriation chairman, did not get a request from any of our public institutions regarding cybersecurity or anything like this. So I found the question odd, and I found it odd that a UNC Charlotte professor was bringing this up. As I did a little bit more background research into the professor, I did call the UNC Charlotte liaison, and I said, is there something that I've missed as an appropriations chairman that UNC Charlotte was requesting or that the university system was requesting regarding cybersecurity? We haven't heard from you on this. And as we had that discussion with the liaison and also had a similar conversation with the community college liaison as to why we haven't heard of these requests or that there's no initiative from our public universities on this. And as I've come to understand that they've actually been working in collaboration with Montreat College, as I told you, I was at that cybersecurity symposium and met the person from Montreat initially. So it was an interesting kind of eye-opening experience as to where we're at. And as I told you, we are severely lacking. My own county earlier this year was attacked and the victim of a cyber attack. But I'll tell you a little bit more about Montreat and what they do, because this appropriation is a bit unique and bold because it's a concept developed in recent years by Montreat. There's no other institution of higher learning in North Carolina or anywhere in the U.S. that we know of that has a similar vision or plan to implement it. So it is different from what we currently do at our public universities. Montreat College is uniquely qualified to launch the Carolina Cybersecurity Center for several reasons, and I'll include the following. It is a unique vision for North Carolina. The Carolina Cybersecurity Center combines training, education, and economic development, in addition to five different levels of academic programs in cybersecurity. The college is launching a state-of-the-art cyber defense training program for government, industry, and education, as well as creating an innovation center to develop cybersecurity and cyber-related businesses to help create a tech sector for Western North Carolina. As the college has surveyed the North Carolina national landscape, there appears to be no other university with a similar vision. Again, they do other things at our public universities, but nothing quite like this. Their focus is on character and ethics. Trust is the currency of cybersecurity, and we must trust our cyber leaders and frontline operators. That means training and education must be infused with lessons of ethics and character-based decision-making. As a faith-based college, Montreat College has taught to character and ethics for 104 years and continues to do so today. In higher education, overtly teaching to character and ethics is now the domain of only the military academies and faith-based colleges. Academic credentials and partnerships. Montreat College is designated as a center, and I think this is probably more to your point, sir, that Montreat College is designated as a center of academic excellence in cyber defense education by the NSA and Department of Homeland Security. In addition, the college is one of five schools in the country to have a formal MOU with the U.S. Army to provide cyber education to those in the Army. The MOU with the Army is fundamentally based on the combination of the college's academic credentials and that it overly teaches to character and ethics. Support from federal, state, and industry leaders. Montreat College has spent years developing relationships and support for the Carolina Cyber Center. The college has strong support from its congressional delegation. As I mentioned, I met with some of those folks and dozens of members of the state legislature. The NSA strongly supports the initiative, as well as top Department of Defense officials and contractors and others in major financial and healthcare organizations in North Carolina. As to federal funding, the college has been engaged with its congressional delegation and various federal agencies to secure an additional $10 million in federal funding to match the state appropriation. The college currently has language in the fiscal year 20 National Defense Authorization Act, NDAA, toward this goal. And then also a national demonstration model. Through the Carolina Cyber Center, North Carolina has the ability to lead the United States in developing a prototype as a national demonstration project to vastly improve cyber defenses across a state and region, properly educate and train cyber and non-cyber operators about the threats in cyber, and close the workforce delta that currently has over 13,000 open cybersecurity jobs in the state of North Carolina. I thank the gentleman for his question.
Mr. Speaker, I have one final follow-up. I hope the response isn't as long, but...
Representative Montgomery, before we do that, the chair does want to do a quick recognition. On motion of the members from Randolph, Representatives Hurley and McNeil, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a group of students from Grace Chapel Elementary School. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks. Glad to have y'all with us today. And you're this is Representative Hurley right here. You can see her. That's your representative. And then Representative McNeil, who's standing up over there, is the other representative from Randolph County. So hope you guys enjoy your visit today. Representative Montgomery, you're recognized for that question. Representative Sain yields.
Yep, and the additional question is, Representative Sain, in comparison to our state-funded institutions, that if we look at our state-funded institutions that had a 37% graduation rate, had five faculty members in a program, and had the amount of students that this institution has, and initial request of $2 million, would you have allocated $20 million to those institutions?
I appreciate the gentleman's question. I think it would have been a wonderful thing to have our public universities engaged in that discussion initially. And to your point, because I know that you haven't been here quite as long as I have, but we're still fairly new to the body. In years past, here in this body, when I first came in, we had, at the time, Tom Tillis was our speaker, and we created an IT committee. And Joe Tolson was my vice chairman. And so Joe and I worked on these. Joe had worked, or should say Representative Tolson, had worked on these issues for many, many years in state government. And one of the things that I've always been very proud of that this body has been able to do is put aside partisan politics or even turf wars, as it were, to work on a lot of the IT issues that we so badly needed to work on as a state, in our public universities, also in our cities and counties. And I think when Representative Tolson started, he and I had many conversations about our state being very far behind. We have come a long way, and we've done that in a way, I think, in a very nonpartisan or bipartisan manner, and looking at some of the best players on the field at the time. So in answer to your question, which was kind of my point and was kind of the curiosity that I had when first questioned about it, because, again, we did pass $2 million in a budget prior and no one even raised an eyebrow. And even this year, as we discussed it, you know, in the committees, in both the House and Senate, we didn't get very many questions. Or even the other day, I understand, when Representative Hall was presenting this budget, in the whichever committee was, one of the appropriate committees, I wasn't here that day, that there was no question of it. But I think it's a question that needs to be had. And I think it's a question that needs to be had across all of our universities, our entire university system, whether public or private. The work that we do on cybersecurity is absolutely critical. And I'm probably going to be coming back to you all, to this body, to have deeper conversations about how we are investing in cybersecurity. As I told you, the incidents just last week in Columbus County, I got a text last night from someone at DIT, who told me of some of our ABC boards have been the victim just last night of multiple attacks. These will not go away. We do need to create a workforce that is ready and able to address these cyber attacks. We owe that to our citizens. We owe it to them to protect their data. And so I will be coming back to you and asking for more help on that, and I hope that you'll work with me on it. Thank you.
Debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman from Scythe, Representative Montgomery, is recognized to debate the bill.
Colleagues, Representative Sain, I appreciate the work that you've done in IT for the state. I think we have made leaps and bounds forward in terms of our investments. And so on most other occasions, I probably would likely want to figure out how to support this. But particularly, I think there is a stark contrast to the other investments we've made in IT infrastructure across the state that we have to pay attention to. And I would really ask us that in this moment, when we begin to ask the questions of how we fund and when we look at cybersecurity and the need to invest in cybersecurity, and also when we look at our educational institutions, that we run rapid the argument that we want the best out of our state institutions, and we look at how they perform. We look at their graduation rates. They have been institutions that we have refused to add additional funding to because we stated that they're not living up to the demands that they currently state. But this institution, we're giving them funds and we're advancing the funds that we're investing in the institution, and they're not meeting the basic needs of their current student body that's there. And that's the challenge that I have, not about how we can look at bipartisanship on moving this forward, but it's the principal place of, if we have this as the standard, then there are a lot of other institutions that we need to be looking at the same way of increasing by tenfold the investments we make in their institutions. And that's the question that I ask us to look at. If that's the standard we have, let's do it for all of our institutions across the board, in particularly the ones that by our right being here, we have a responsibility to fund and ensure that they thrive, which this is not one of them, but I'm proud to support it in different ways. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise.
to see if Representative Sain would yield for a question.
Representative Sain, gentlemen yield.
I will yield, Mr.
Speaker. He yields.
Thank you, Representative. As chairman of IT, is it fair to say that you and I have had many a meeting and many a conversation about IT budgets and needs?
That would be 100% accurate, sir.
Thank you, sir. Follow-up, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Yu, he is.
Representative Zane, at any time have I discussed with you that any other university or any other school has approached myself or Representative Hall about the needs for cyber funding for their schools?
President Jones, I appreciate the question and the point that you're making. And that has been kind of my point back to some of our university folks, is to say that we really do welcome those requests. We want to address those, but it's not something that we can do and create it out of thin air. It's dependent upon them to bring that to us. And I do think that they have received that message. And so kind of alluded to that to my answer to the other representative about what we're doing with public universities. We want to see that request, and I want to see that they believe that this is something of importance, and I do believe that they've received that message, as well as our community college system.
Last follow-up, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman, you? Yes.
So it's fair to say that they were kind of behind the eight ball on this, and once they seen that this request was made and this ask was made, then they had an interest in it, but it was after the fact that we had done our appropriations.
I'd say that's very accurate, sir.
Thank you, Representative.
Gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Autry moves to amend the bill on page 3, lines 19 through 22, by deleting the text of subdivision and inserting the following.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this amendment is pretty straight up in that it takes the grant to Montreat College and instead reinvests it in our state universities, our public schools. It just seems ill-advised, ill-prepared, and absolutely the wrong thing to do, to make a $20 million investment into a private school whenever we have unmet needs across our university system. Currently, right now in the North Carolina University system and the community college system, East Carolina, Fayetteville Tech Community College, Forsyth Technical Community College, North Carolina A&T State University, North Carolina State University, Sampson Community College, the University of North Carolina at Wilmington, and the University of North Carolina at Charlotte are all certified as academic excellence under the National Security Administration and the Department of Homeland Security. In fact, the University of North Carolina Charlotte is certified for Network Security Administration and Secure Software Development. So it just seems wrong-headed to put $20 million whenever we have unmet needs in our university system that is the public university that the people of North Carolina are absolutely supportive of, that we're not putting that in. So I would advise that and request that we vote green on this amendment and put the money back into the public university system where it is needed. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Lincoln, Representative Sain, rise.
To pose a question to Representative Autry.
Representative Autry, does the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Autry, I appreciate you accepting my question, and especially after being called ill-prepared and very wrong-headed. I'm looking at your amendment, and I'm just more curious as to this very vague statement that you have, providing funds for the continuing upgrade of statewide cybersecurity capabilities. And in a way, and in a tech world, your amendment appears to me to just be throwing money at a problem that we've very loosely defined, and I'm not sure that the university system is even prepared to accept the money and know how to spend it. Have you had a conversation with anybody in the university system as to where these dollars would go specifically, or are we just taking a big bunch of money and just kind of throwing it at the university system?
I can assure you, sir, that there is nothing being thrown anywhere, that the needs for the state university systems are vast and deep, and we're not meeting those needs. So there's plenty of opportunities for the universities of North Carolina system and the community college system to find ways to use this money to support cybersecurity processes and programs that those universities have already, sir.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman yield.
Representative Baldwin,
gentleman yield.
Yes, sir.
Heels.
President Autry, I'm asking really more for specifics as what you wish to do with this money. Simply just, again, throwing it at the university system and saying, here's a whole bunch of money to work on cybersecurity. Where exactly are these dollars going to be spent? Not some vague reference to, hey, they're going to work on cybersecurity. I mean, this is a sizable chunk of money, but yet there's no specifics in your amendment. Where specifically do you intend to spend those dollars?
in the cybersecurity programs that are currently available in the University of North Carolina's and community college system.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman yield?
Yes, I yield.
So, because it's not specifically here, are you, is your intent to divide that up among the multiple universities that, and what about the community colleges? Are we ignoring those folks in your amendment? Is that what I'm saying?
No, sir, that is not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that another $20 million to support cybersecurity development and the programs that are currently in our public universities and community college system could be well put to use within those processes. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from White, Representative Jackson?
I wonder if Representative Sain would yield for a question.
Representative Sain, gentlemen, yield?
Mr. Speaker, I will not yield to the
gentleman. He does not yield. We do, and we have several whites on. Would ask several of the whites were on for debate on the bill. If members are, if there are members wanting to simply debate the bill and not the amendment, if you could turn your lights off, and then we'll come, we'll open those back up. The chair just wants to see who all wants to actually debate the amendment. For what purpose, gentlemen, rise? Representative Jackson.
To speak on the amendment.
Gentlemen, is recognized to debate the amendment.
I appreciate Representative Sain's questions to Representative Autry because I shared some of his same concerns, and that was what I was going to attempt to ask some questions about because I'm concerned about the specifics in the bill. It actually doesn't say that Montreat College has to build anything with this money. It says that it's for the Cybersecurity Regional Training Center. I assume they have a building on the college and could take our $20 million and slap a sign on a building that already exists and say, here's our training. And that would be acceptable under the language of the bill. It's not specific. It's very vague. It doesn't require anything. We've heard things about a federal match. There's nothing in this bill that requires Montreat College to get the federal match in order to take this money from the state. In fact, there's nothing that says they have to actually build the building with the money. There's no clause. I mean, what happens if they do a cybersecurity regional training center for 30 days? And then they turn it into a conference center for something else.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, rise?
It appears we're arguing about Montreat again and not the amendment. Can we please stay on the amendment?
The gentleman would be asked to keep his comments related to the amendment, please.
Mr. Speaker, maybe a point of clarification. Does Representative Autry's amendment not take the money from Montreat College and give it to the university system? Maybe I misunderstood.
Chair believes that's the case. Gentleman has the floor to continue debating.
Thank you. There's no clawback provision. You know, we always give money to incentives and things like that, and we say, you know, if you don't do what you're supposed to do with the money, we claw it back. You don't create the necessary jobs, we claw it back. I don't see anything in here. This language is very vague. I don't really know that I understand why Montreat College was selected for this, in that it seems like to me if we decided we wanted to invest $20 million in cybersecurity, we would reach out to our public universities. I have real concern. I don't know much about Montreat College, so I ran their name in the internet search and came up and found that they're a small school, that this $20 million will actually be more than their operating budget for the whole entire university for a year. That was very surprising to understand that such a small organization that we were giving such a large grant to. And then I looked at their undergraduate program, and they graduate about 37.8% of their students, undergrads, over an eight-year period. So not over a four-year period or a five-year period, but over an eight-year period, they only graduate about 37.8% of their students. I'm really concerned about giving Montreat this money and not putting more strings. I think this is a very unspecific and vague appropriation, and so I support the gentleman's amendment, and I hope you will as well.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the amendment.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was going to do this on debate on the bill, but since this is what I was going to talk about in that, I guess it applies here. Number one, I would quote the Apostle James, brother of Jesus, who said, you do not have because you do not ask. And I think it's been made very clear in discussion of this situation that the state colleges and universities aren't getting this because they didn't ask for it. Montreat asked for it. Now, if you know me, you know I'm very hesitant about giving taxpayer funding to any private entity. And so I kind of had to think about this one a bit. Because even though I love Montreat College, my daughter and her husband met there. I've had some association with the college, and I understand what an excellent institution Montreat is. I was still a little hesitant about this. But I got to thinking, this will serve a state interest. Cybersecurity is a state interest. This is not just throwing a bunch of money at a private institution for their sake. This is to work with an institution that has shown themselves willing to work with the state on a matter of state interest that will serve the people of North Carolina well. And so, as far as the graduation rate, I think that's a sign of high standards that are expected of their students before they receive graduation. I wish a lot of other colleges and universities would learn to have such high standards, and maybe we'd have better quality graduates. But as much as I do hesitate on giving state money to private institutions, this is not just for the private institution. This is for a very valid and very serious state interest. And since nobody else asked for it, they're willing to work with us on it, and I think we ought to give this a shot. So I'm against this amendment. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is true that James, the brother of Jesus, did say, you have not because you ask not, but Jesus Christ himself said, if you seek, ye shall find. And if we had looked and sought, we would have found that North Carolina A&T State University has opened the Center of Excellence in Cybersecurity Research, Education, and Outreach. Let me read you the vision statement of this center that is already in operation. The Center of Education and Cybersecurity is an inclusive community of stakeholders distinguished by interdisciplinary and innovative approaches that translate knowledge into solutions for cybersecurity challenges. They already have several research labs that support five thrust areas and have centers for advanced studies in identity science, Center for Cyber Defense, Center for Cyber Identity Biometrics Lab. They focus on these five areas: data visualization, biometrics, big data analytics, artificial intelligence and machine learning, and public policy. And certainly North Carolina A&T State University could have used some of that $20 million.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, rise?
Speak to the amendment. The
gentleman has the floor.
Thank you. I won't be quoting scripture, but I do want to speak to what I think is the premise of what Representative Autry has stated as the reason why he put in this amendment, and so I want to make sure I understand, was that somehow we underfunded investments in other areas. And I think that's a false premise. And so what I wanted to share and remind this body, what the House budget and what ultimately was passed, was provides for $3.4 billion of investment. It provides $1.5 billion to K-12 schools. It provided $400 million to our community colleges. $325 million to repairs and renovations.
Mr. Speaker,
$557 million.
Representative Arp, just a moment. For what purpose, gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Inquiry of the chair, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized.
What day are we going to adjourn?
The day we finish.
This conversation seems like one that only happens at the end of session. May I ask another inquiry of the chair?
Gentleman's recognized.
I would ask if the gentleman could stick to debating the bill in front of us, the amendment. He's talking to us about the budget. Thank you.
Representative Arp continues to have the floor.
Thank you. What I'm referring to is the very premise of the amendment was that we did not invest elsewhere because we put this money here. That's a false premise. That's exactly what I'm debating. In the sense that we put $632 million toward our universities and public institutions. And it's simply a false premise that you can't invest
point of order
here,
Chairman.
Because
just a moment, Representative Hawkins, of the gentleman state his point of order, please.
Yes, sir. Point of order. Could we please ask the current speaker to stick to funding specifically for cybersecurity and not go over what has been outlined in the state budget because it is not germane to the conversation.
The chair believes the gentleman's remarks were related to. We're related to the amendment, and so the gentleman's point is that the chair rules that that Representative Arp is in fact in order.
Mr. Speaker.
What person lay from orange?
Would the gentleman yield for a question?
Representative Arp, does the gentleman yield?
I certainly will after my comments.
Well, doesn't this time? I'd be glad to come back to you if you'd like.
Please do.
The gentleman has the floor to continue
thank you,
debating
Mr. Speaker.
The amendment.
This is about building a structure for the cybersecurity program, and I deal with capital, and this is about the capital. And so that is absolutely the relationship. So let me refresh and go back. We provided $632 million for capital improvements for the UNC system, $557 million for the agencies, $1.5 billion for K-12. All of this while not
point
neglecting.
Point of order.
It's a false
is
sense.
Is the chairman.
Okay,
point of order.
Okay, just a moment, someone. For what purpose the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, believe you wanted to rise to a point of order? But lady may state her point of order.
Yes, we're speaking on the amendment which talks about the money being allocated towards cybersecurity, and he's talking about capital improvements, and so I'm trying to find that connection. I'm getting really lost. The things that you're asking us to make sure we stay on, that's not what I'm hearing from my peer. So are we speaking on the amendment? Are we going back to speak on the bill?
I believe the gentleman's debating the amendment. The gentleman has the floor to continue debating.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Speaker, thank you. The point is, it's a false premise for this entire amendment to say that we have underfunded and underinvested in our universities and community colleges systems, and this money shouldn't be spent elsewhere. That's a false premise. I've laid out the facts of where we are investing at the same time doing this wonderful program to move the state of North Carolina forward. This is a great opportunity. It's a false premise to say we can't do both. And at this time, I'll reserve my comments.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you. To speak on the amendment.
The lady has the floor to debate the amendment.
Many of the comments have already been said, but what are we doing? $20 million, which is more than Montreat's entire budget. As Leader Jackson said, no clawback, no oversight. $20 million for a school of 450 students, 5 faculty members offering an associate degree with a 37% graduation rate. We can do better than this. I urge you to vote for the amendment.
For what purpose does the Representative Isco, did the lady want to pose her question to Representative Arp at this time?
I'll make my comments later. I'd like to speak on the bill. I'd like to speak on the amendment.
Okay. If the lady wants to go ahead and debate the amendment now, I'd be glad to play heads of floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, it is an insult to our wonderful university system to claim that we have met the needs of that system. It's our responsibility. We have the power to keep our university system as a top-notch system in the nation. I mean, for us to claim, for anyone in this chamber to claim that we have adequately funded that system and that we can put $20 million into a private school that only has a 37% graduation rate, The taxpayers expect us to do our job for the institutions that they've been supporting for generations. Please vote for this amendment.
For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Belk, rise?
To ask Representative Sain if he will yield for a question.
Representative Sain, the gentleman yield?
I'll yield.
He yields.
Yes, Representative Sain, that you had talked about UNCC wanting or working with Montreat in order for them to get this funding. Did I understand that correctly?
That's not exactly what I was explaining. I was saying that Montreat and UNC Charlotte do share and do work together on different issues, cybersecurity being one of those, just in collaboration. I mean, specifically with the funding, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that they do work collaboratively. But since you brought up UNC Charlotte, and while I have the microphone, I will also listen to the conversation.
Follow-up?
Well, I will add that we did.
Whoa. Representative Belk. Gentleman has the floor. Lady wants to spend.
Go ahead.
I will add that we did put $40 million in capital for UNC Charlotte for expansion of their IT program.
Okay. Follow up.
Does the gentleman yield to additional questions?
I will yield.
So what you're saying is UNCC has collaborated with Montreat in the past, but they have not specifically said that they would prefer for Montreat to get this funding versus the program at UNCC? Because I was at UNCC last week in the political speaking as alum in political science department, and nobody had suggested that they did not want funding for their program. So I'm just wondering, just so I clarify, that UNCC does collaborate with other universities, but not specifically not requesting or requesting that they get that funding. Is that correct?
Representative Belk, thank you, and I never suggested that. What I suggested was that they do collaborate together in the educational process. As far as what one school collaborates with the other in terms of funding, I do not suggest that and did not suggest that. I think I'm very clear about that. And if you misunderstood, I'm sorry, but I will clarify that for you right now. I'd also be interested to know what the political science department understood about their IT department, but that's probably a conversation for another time.
Sure. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, rise?
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I've enjoyed the debate between the gentleman from Lincoln, the lady from Orange, the gentleman from Guilford, and others on whether or not we have or have not adequately funded our university system, public university system. I have thoughts on that, but they're not relevant to my position on this amendment and on this bill. In the end, if I thought that the state of North Carolina could get the best bang for its cybersecurity dollar by investing $20 million in one of our fine private institutions, I would fully support that. But I don't think that's the case here. I have deep concerns about the ability of the targeted institution to handle a amount of money of this magnitude, a program of this magnitude, given their current size. We often talk in terms of running government like a business. Now, that's another debatable point, but if one accepts that we should do that, I think if we were running a business and wanted to contract out a service worth $20 million, I do not think we would be investing it in a company that would have its capacity so significantly increased when we have many other potential bidders out there that already have the capacity built in and could easily take it. I am not convinced that we have done an adequate due diligence process in this effort, and I do think the amendment that's before us now would go a long way towards addressing this, so I urge you to support it.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask a question of Representative Sain, if he would yield.
Representative Sain, gentleman yield?
I will yield.
He yields.
In the proposal that we received from Montreat College, did they have a number of graduates? Surely there's some track record we have of their program. Number of graduates and number of faculty and what the qualifications of the faculty were for the current program?
For the current programming, sir, and I appreciate the question, again, this is a new cybersecurity center that they're building, so this is an expansion. There is a list and a proposal. And again, I did suggest to Montreat College that they kind of shop this with our Department of Information Technology, which I am aware that they had multiple meetings on that, and how that department would work with Montreat in terms of training. And since the debate has continued along the same pathway, I'll also, and really to a question prior to, but again, I have the microphone. So Montreat and UNC Charlotte do work on joint submissions for federal grants together. I just got that text from one of our university folks. So all this is very interesting. And again, I appreciate the fact that we are discussing cybersecurity on this floor. Looking at some of your faces here, I'm not sure that you all appreciate this deep dive into cybersecurity, but I think it is a timely subject, and I think that the questions asked are certainly relevant, and I hope that you all will take this, not just today, as Representative Autry sits on the IT Appropriations Committee and did not ask this question when we were going through the budgeting process initially. I hope that you all will take great interest in cybersecurity, because you all owe it to the citizens of the state.
Mr. Speaker, could I debate the amendment?
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have served several times on NSF grant committees awarding millions of dollars. One of the first questions that is always asked in one of these is, what is the track record of the institution and what are the qualifications of the people that will lead the program? I cannot find any information about number of graduates from the current program at Montreat, but I can find information about their current faculty. Right now, they have three faculty, none of which hold a PhD. The three faculty have master's degrees in cybersecurity. That would not grant somebody an NSF, that would not get somebody an NSF grant to pursue such a thing, I can assure you. Now, I have taught at small schools. I have nothing against Montreat University, but I see no evidence in anything that I have seen that this institution has the wherewithal and the qualifications and the ability to manage properly a $20 million grant for cybersecurity. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise?
To debate the amendment a second time.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, it's true. I do not have the experience that a lot of the members in this body do. But I have yet to see anybody from the community college system or the University of North Carolina system come into my office and tell me, hey man, we're good, we're cash fat, we don't need any more funding. That's not been the case, that's not been my experience. So I think it's absolutely wrong to take public money and putting it into a private institution when we have lots of public institutions that could make very good use of this money. They have as well-established programs, they have certification from the Department of Homeland Security and the National Security Administration. Please vote green on the amendment.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise.
To debate the amendment.
The gentleman has the floor.
Again, here we go again. I stood before this body during the budget debate when it was brought to this body's attention by me and others that we had UNC system schools, primarily A&T State University, which is one of our two land-grant colleges, that had nothing in the budget for ag research and cooperative extension. And when I brought that to the floor, I was told that one of our only two land-grant colleges did not have an allocation for cooperative extension and ag research because they didn't ask for it. And I'm hearing that same song again. Now, I know we know better than that. Absolutely, we know better than that. And I keep hearing this same song about how long someone has been in the legislature as to whether or not they know what they're talking about. I'm sick of that one, too. Because at the end of the day, no one owns intellectual property. I would challenge anyone on either side of the fence on an intellectual knowledge contest if that's what we've got to do. But at the end of the day, that's not what this is about. This is about the proper allocation of state funds. Okay? We are debating whether or not we're going to give $20 million to a private college. A&T State University, the T stands for technical, if you didn't know, has a center for cybersecurity that they just built. They need this funding. If they knew this funding was available to them, I promise you they would have been the first ones at the table to ask for some of it. But we're going to sit here and pretend like we have UNC system schools that cannot provide the same or not better program than this private college that has no history, no track record or anything that we can build upon. I'm sure we can do better than this. And so I encourage you to support this amendment, because this is absolutely the same song, and I know we know better.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Autry. Those in favor of the amendment will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will let the machine record the vote. 51 having voted in the affirmative, 51 in the negative, the amendment fails. We're now back on the bill. Further discussion, further debate on the
inquiry,
bill.
The inquiry of the chair. Hold on,
Representative Hawks, hold on a minute. Remember to have recognized and then state a purpose, and the chair will recognize yourself. For what purpose does the gentleman rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Could you please explain to the body how the amendment failed when it's 51-51?
There were 51 members who voted yes. There were 51 members who voted no. The amendment failed to pass. It did not reach a majority. And the speaker elected not to vote, but the speaker doesn't have to vote either way, but it was 51-51. For what purpose of jump from weight, Representative Jackson rise.
To speak on the bill.
Gentleman has four.
Obviously, it's unfortunate that we've been doing these mini budgets, and to date, they have been on non-controversial issues. And unfortunately, this part, I'm afraid, the appropriation to Montreat has created a lot of heartburn, obviously, and it has endangers the IT department funding, and I think that's not what our desire is. I'm going to ask you to vote against it. I've done a little research while we've been sitting here about Montreat College, and each individual institution is welcome to make its own decisions. They are a private religious school. But I'm really bothered by the pledge that they require their faculty and students to sign. Particularly about marriage. And apparently certain people who have certain types of marriages are just not welcome to teach at this school. And I guess they're not welcome to attend the school. And so I'm really disappointed that we're going to give them such a large grant with no clawback provisions, no matches, no requirements. They actually build the first center block. I just don't think this is the right thing to do. I hate to see this entire IT bill get caught up in that. I hope the bill sponsors, when the bill gets over to the Senate, will in fact consider removing this provision so that we can get the IT funding done that needs to be done. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
Please recognize.
Will this be a recorded vote?
It will.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Burke, Representative Blackwell, rise?
Just a brief comment, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor.
With reference to the notion that there is no clawback and that there are no requirements, my reading of the bill says that it is specifically subject to the provisions of North Carolina General Section 143C, 623B through K. If you take a look at those, it's state grant funds, administration, oversight, and reporting requirements. I encourage you to take a look at it. There's a long, long list of things that they are required to comply with, policies and rules by the Office of Budget and Management. The Attorney General gets involved in helping set policies. The department's involved. Their provisions for getting the money back if they fail to comply with the purposes for which the grant is made. You can disagree about the policy of making the grant to them, but I don't think it's fair to characterize it as being sort of a blank check and that they have no requirements and that there's not an opportunity to get money back that's improperly spent. Final comment I'll offer is I haven't heard very many complaints over the years that I've been here about grants to nonprofits because we were not funding Health and Human Services as we should, or that we weren't funding the university or K-12 or the prisons as we should. It seems to be a singular complaint against this particular nonprofit private institution. And I think some of the criticisms are disingenuous.
Members, the on motion of the gentleman from Lee, Representative Sauls, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies, the gallery, to a group of students from Tramway Elementary School. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us today. And Representative Sauls is right over here. And I believe Representative Reeves may have part of that. Is Representative Reeves on the floor? I don't see him. Okay. But we appreciate you all being with us today. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Unfortunately, I will be voting against this bill. I think the amendment that just failed would have greatly improved it. I'm also going to be voting against it, not because I'm against Montreat College. I certainly appreciate the fact that they offer higher education to a percentage of our North Carolina citizens and citizens from wherever they come from to attend that college. But I think that we have missed a great opportunity to help some of our state schools to provide cybersecurity. I just wanted to mention this also. North Carolina A&T State University this past summer offered two absolutely free cybersecurity camps for students in 8th through 12th grade. No charge to those students. Certainly we could have found a way to support that effort for North Carolina A&T to help the next generation who's going to come along, who's going to have to deal with a lot more cybersecurity than we will in their lifetime. So I'll be voting against the bill. Hopefully it gets fixed up somewhere and comes back in some iteration that I can support.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Inske, rise?
I'd like to speak to the motion, but it will be to clarify a statement that was made by another member.
The lady there's no motion before the body, it's just the second reading of the bill, so the lady's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to clarify how nonprofits work for Health and Human Services. That money is appropriated to the department. The department has had long contracts with many of our nonprofits across the state that deliver the services, and they do a good job. But the decision is made primarily by the Department of State Government. So this money is going directly from us, not through our university system to be dispersed to another program, but directly to a school that is not part of our university system. I hope you will vote against this bill. This money is needed in our university system.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Maury, rise?
Thank you. To speak on the bill.
Lady has four.
And members, as we're all sitting here and listening to this prolonged debate, looking up news articles, but the Journal of Higher Education just wrote an article in February of this year talking about Montreat's finances looking very grim. The budget shortfalls in recent years has come close to merging Montreat with another institution for its survival. I think we need to look at that.
As Representative Martin was saying, if we looked at this as a business, look at the recommendation or the warnings from Civitas, who are also opposed to this, I urge you to vote against this bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
Debate the bill a second time. The
gentleman has the floor.
Colleagues, lastly, just a couple remarks. As we look at the bill, and I believe we probably settled in where we're going to be at on the bill as it moves forward, I would just like to again share the fact that I have no issue or personal gripe with Montreat. I don't know much about the institution itself. This is not about them as an institution. It's based on the data and the stats that I've been presented with that I've seen. And looking at the numbers and looking at what we know within our UNC system is where I've come down in terms of the questions that I have about it. So I don't want anyone to get that twisted as we're having this conversation today, that I don't think it's in reference to the institution or its quality in the sense of where it is there, but just the data points that we're faced with. And as we've debated this today, I've heard individuals talk about the fact that if other institutions had asked, that potentially they could have had access to the funds. I want to say as a member of this General Assembly, I've had institutions come and ask for funds. I've taken that to chairs and even offered amendments in committees, and those institutions were turned down. So I think it's not truly being truthful that if an institution simply asks for funds to support programmatic advancements that are shown to be important for the advancements of that institution or for the advancement of the system itself, that they simply will have access. Additionally, as we look at moving forward, I know that my colleagues from Forsyth County would celebrate the fact that just recently we had our opening Forsyth Tech Community College Cyber Center as well. So we're in the same ballpark as so many of us in this room, where we have institutions in our communities that we represent that are working in this arena. And my only request was that we had a general, real conversation about that. And Representative saying, I'm open to sit down with you anytime to talk about this, because I believe that we need to make a real difference in this for all of our institutions.
Members, on motion of Representatives McNeil and Hurley of Randolph County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to the second group of students here with us today from Grace Chapel Elementary School in Randolph County. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Thanks for being with us. And your two representatives are Representative Hurley, who's standing right here, and Representative McNeil, who's over there waving. We appreciate you all being with us today. For what purpose does the lady from Pitt, Representative Smith, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Sane, does the gentleman yield?
I will yield.
He yields.
My question is, did you confer with any of my Democratic colleagues before determining that Montreat College would receive these funds?
What I can tell you, Representative, is that this went through the whole budgeting process just like everything else that we did. And your Democratic colleagues, including Representative Autry, who sits on the IT Appropriations Committee, were a part of the conversation when this went through. And as late as yesterday, this was going through a committee, and this was the first. I mean, it's been a fascinating debate, but it seems like during the process, everyone waited till today to ask their questions.
Follow up.
Gentleman yields to additional question. He yields.
So it seems like that answer is no. So my question is, and I've heard the comment about bipartisan support, it actually requires bipartisan conversation with at least members of the opposing side. And so my question to you is, did this bill receive bipartisan support?
My understanding yesterday in the committee that it passed out either unanimously or almost unanimously. And again, I'll remind the member that the process is the process. We worked on the budget for a long time. And when I say we, everyone in this body, we all had different roles to play. But many of you were all in the Appropriations Committee on that very long day when we passed the original budget, the House version of the budget. And then when we came back through and looked at it again when it came back from the Senate. So to say that an opportunity hasn't been there for others to participate in this process, I would once again suggest that folks should show up and talk about what their concerns are, because that's the process, and that those were there were multiple opportunities to do that.
Follow-up.
Gentleman yield to additional questions?
I will.
He yields.
Can you tell me, has there been anything in the budget that has changed from the beginning of us going through that process?
With regards to this particular provision that everyone is talking about, no. Has there been other changes? Yes, I'm sure that there have been. But to this particular instance, this is the same today as it was when we started the initial budget.
Follow-up.
Gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
So admitting that there have been changes in the budget, and as long as people have shown up, and I assure you I have shown up, there could possibly be things that change or not change that you may not know about, and you find out later. Is that correct?
Representative, if anyone in this body comes into this building on any given day with the assumption that nothing can change, they are fairly misguided at best. Things change at the last minute in the legislative process. Things change all the time here.
Follow up.
Gentleman yield. He yields.
Point well taken. Things change at the last minute. And so that's sometimes why people have questions. And I just heard you continue and a colleague state that this was bipartisan support. We would not have had this much debate. So my question to you is this something that you're willing to take a look at, maybe with bipartisan support? So since we are trying to make sure that we take care of the state of North Carolina with our cybersecurity, that we do that holistically and take that approach?
Representative, I believe I've indicated through this entire conversation today that I am glad that all of you seem now to be interested in cybersecurity, and I welcome that discussion. And as I referred back to, or I answered the question back to one of the representatives over there about whether or not we could work together on future endeavors, then absolutely yes. This is our process. This is how this works. I'm okay with the questions. I'm okay with people wanting to get involved in this process. I think Representative Joe Tolson would be elated if he were alive today and could hear this debate, that so many folks are interested in technology. I think this is wonderful. So if out of today, after our extended debate, comes a greater interest and a greater concern and a greater willingness of members of this body to understand IT, I am incredibly happy with that.
Follow up.
Gentleman yield.
I yield.
He yields.
I wish this debate was completely all about IT, but we all know it's not. So I guess my question to you is not just with IT, but with anything, because I'm confused when you said the request was received from Montreat to receive these monies. So who was that request made to?
To appropriations chairs, socialized with members of our federal delegation. This process has been going on for several years. And as I indicated before, I made sure that the administration's Department of Information Technology, again, not my governor in terms of party, certainly my governor in terms of state, but I made sure through a process, making sure that we had folks who understood what we were talking about, be a part of that discussion. So we have, there's not been any attempt to conceal or to simply jam something through the legislature. It's just that folks have different interests in this body, and I get that. There are things that I'm more interested in than others. Again, I celebrate the fact that more people are interested today because of it. But at the same time, this has been part of the process. And again, going back to last year's budget, which included a kind of a $2 million starter in this project. So, again, I'm glad that we're all paying attention to it today. But to simply suggest that the homework hasn't been done and that boxes haven't been checked and this hasn't been socialized is a little bit unfair. But that's okay. I'm glad folks are now coming to the table to be concerned and to want to talk about this more. And I'm willing, and as I've said on the floor today, I'm more than willing to hear from our university, our public university folks and to know more about what they want to do with cybersecurity dollars. I am very interested in that. I'm very interested in that because my sheriff's department was attacked with a malware attack. Columbus County schools, our ABC stores were attacked apparently, and that might be an even greater crisis for some than others. But it is something that we absolutely should be talking about.
Follow up.
Does Gemma yield?
I yield.
He yields.
It is correct that you are the appropriations chair, correct?
Last I checked.
Follow up.
Gemma yield? He yields.
So with being the appropriations chair, is not part of that process is for you as a chair to also reach out across the board and have conversations with opposing parties just to make sure that we're on the same page as a chair? Or is it just your duty to present what maybe you and people who have spoken to you, which may be on the same party, have presented, and you just go from there and let everybody else roll with it if you've not had a conversation with them?
Representative, I think that is an absolute mischaracterization of the process. This process starts, I mean, there is one party that has a majority and one that does not. But this process started way back in January and in February when committees were meeting, when folks were going over budgets with their agency, folks who were coming in to present, appropriations chairs sat in and have listened to. And I think the budget reflects, because there are many projects and many things in the overall budget that we passed that had a lot of participation from many people from all sides. So this is a process. Now, at some point in time, one interest may, you know, win over another interest. But to say that we haven't discussed or that we haven't, or for me, for one, that I haven't had an open door policy for any member of my side or your side to come talk to me, all you have to do is schedule a meeting and we'd be glad to talk.
I would like to just speak on the bill.
Lady has the floor to debate the bill.
First, I would like to say thank you so much, Representative Sain, for indulging me in asking questions and getting answers. I want to make sure that we're clear. At no time did I say that you, some of those things that you're saying and how you rephrase it, I wasn't saying that. But what I am saying is if we're going to work together and we're going to have a bipartisan approach to looking at these situations, we all have different interests in different things. But it is important that we do reach out. Now, I have seen on several bills that we've reached out to each other so we could have bipartisan
support. Mr. Speaker, point of order. Representative Bell, the gentleman may state his point of order.
Would the lady keep her remarks to the subject at hand instead of wishes and process?
The chair will just point out a couple. The chair has given the members a lot of latitude and has noticed between yesterday and today the air being a little more testy in the House, and would ask members to bear in mind we are in the House of Representatives, and the comment's not directed at any one individual, not directed at Representative Smith, but would ask all members to take that into account in their comments and their debate on this bill. The lady has the floor to continue debating.
Thank you so much. So again, with that being said, when we look at this bill, let me just make sure I state this bill. When we look at this bill in particular and we start thinking about bipartisan support, it does make me go back to the process of the budget that Representative Arp shared with us that we've had and how much funds has been used for the university system and how many have been used for different parts of what we do when we look at the budget. So with this bill, not that Montreat does not need money, but I think that the question is $20 million to be used towards one school that has not had their program developed and off the ground does not show that as representatives we're doing some of the things that we may need to do, which is our due process. So I am definitely going to vote against this bill in hopes that this is something we can take back and take a closer look at and see how we can better allocate those funds in order to continue to take care of the state of North Carolina with cybersecurity, but then also look at what we can do for Montreat College to get them at a better level. Thank you.
Ratification,
Mr. Speaker.
Just my ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The ruling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 312, an act to provide relief to the Ocracoke School, accommodate extraordinary circumstances due to Hurricane Dorian. Senate Bill 579, an act authorizing the Joint Legislative Program Evaluation Committee to direct the Program Evaluation Division to study alternative organization and management structures for the Division of Adult Correction and Juvenile Justice, the Department of Public Safety.
Chapter bills will be noted. For purpose lay from Orange, Representative Insko Rice.
Would the gentleman yield for a question, Representative Sain?
Which one? Representative Sain, would the gentleman yield to a question from Representative Insko?
I will yield.
He yields.
Thank you, Mr. Sain, or Representative Sain. When I saw the number on this bill, it rang a bell. I think this bill started out as the rural broadband bill. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct.
Can you tell me
gentleman,
when?
Yield additional inquiry.
Thank you.
Yield.
Thank you. Could you tell me when it was changed to the cybersecurity bill? When was that PCS made?
Representative Ensco, I'm not exactly sure the timing.
When was it? If I may, if I still have the floor.
I believe it was earlier this week that it came out as an IT mini budget. So it's not just cybersecurity that's in this budget. There's other concerns in this mini budget.
Excuse me. Follow-up question.
Gentlemen, yield to an additional question.
I yield.
He yields.
So when did it appear on the calendar as a PCS? I mean, I'm on the Appropriations Committee. I thought that it was on the calendar yesterday as a PCS. I think it was introduced in the committee as a PCS. Is that not correct?
Representative, I believe that's correct. I was not here on Tuesday because of my business, but that Representative Kyle Hall, the IT Appropriations Chair, ran the bill in committee, and then we tried to add it to the calendar yesterday. There were some objections, and I said to the speaker that, no, look, if folks need a chance to read that or whatever, give them a chance overnight, they'll do that, whatever. So that's why you have it before you today.
Thank you. Just to speak briefly on the
lady has four.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. We haven't had a lot of time to really review and research this issue. I don't think anyone in here really knows everything that we need to know about this college. I think it has about 42 faculty members. I agree with the comments that have been made that this college is not ready to take on this kind of investment. So I think it's prudent of us to vote against this bill. Let it come back in another form, but this version of the bill is not acceptable. It's not a fiscally responsible bill for us to pass. So I urge you to vote no.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Sain, does the gentleman yield?
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Sain, you've mentioned several times about you being glad that there was interest in cybersecurity and that people are taking this notion seriously. Does not the building of a cybersecurity school, a program at A&T, does that not denote being serious about cybersecurity?
Representative Smith, I believe that it does, and in my comment when I talk about taking it seriously, I'm talking about members of this body. Given some of the phishing emails and reply alls that I see, we could all use a refresher on cybersecurity. And since you and I are having this conversation, when I speak of folks who haven't been here a long time or I'm not trying to insult any other members, but what my reference to that was Representative Tolson and I working together in a very bipartisan fashion. It was a different time, but when we had just taken, the Republicans had just become the majority, but Representative Tolson, who I've referred to in many instances as a mentor to me, where state IT was concerned, Representative Tolson would have told you, if he were alive today, would tell you that very few have cared about information technology, security, and so forth. When I say don't care about it, it's not at the forefront of their mind. It's not that they don't care, but it's that that's not something that they're paying a lot of attention to. So when I say that, I am very glad that we, and I'm also very glad that we do have institutions that are working on cybersecurity. As I had a conversation with one of the members over here, when you don't have a level of expertise in cybersecurity, and I'm not suggesting that I have some knowledge that no one here can easily obtain, but there have been many, many years of working with multiple state chief information officers in multiple administrations, multiple parties, and so forth, just to understand the level of where we are as a state. And so when I say that I am absolutely glad that we're paying attention to it, I'm absolutely glad that we're paying attention to it, not just because of Montreat, but because of what A&T is doing, because of what NC State is doing, because of what UNC Charlotte is doing. Trying to get a field trip together with some of our members just to go visit these institutions and learn about cybersecurity sometimes has been difficult. So to have such interest today, I'm incredibly excited about that and glad that you've joined me in that conversation.
Thank you. I'd like to debate the bill, please.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
That being said, And I'm glad that the representative is excited that we have other schools in the UNC system that are focused on cybersecurity. Again, that is I can't think of a better reason to vote against this bill, because this bill takes $20 million away from the UNC system schools that he's just so proud of, that are providing the same type of education and have proven over time that they have the capability of maintaining these types of programs, where the school in question does not have that same track record. So for that reason, if no other reason, I ask you to vote against this bill.
For what purpose does the gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, rise?
Debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I know the hour's getting late, and the year's getting late, for that matter, and we're all trying to endure all of this, so I'll just make a few comments. This is the original language that was in the budget. Nothing has changed in what we have here. There's no gimmicks, there's no games, no last-minute insertions into the process or into the policy. Representative Sain has worked on this at least since January and probably before, because the individuals from Montreat were in my office in January. So this is not a last-minute insertion or trying to circumvent the process. It's been a long time that we've been going through this to make sure that we get this right. So that's the first thing I want to point out. The second thing, I think we need to be careful about criticizing and slightly condescending to private institutions. Montreat has done a lot of things for this state, and they've done a lot of things for Western North Carolina. My district is just slightly east of Buncombe County, where Montreat College is. And a lot of the students that I represent and a lot of the people in my district have been touched or graduated from that college, and I'm proud of what they represent for Western North Carolina and what they represent for this state. So I'd hope we'd be careful about how we approach and how we look at private institutions in this state. So for those two reasons, Mr. Speaker, I would encourage all the members to support this bill. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative R. Price?
To speak to the bill. The
gentleman has the floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, I rise because I'm deeply concerned about some of the comments put forward by Representative Jackson for the reason to defeat this bill. Respect Representative Jackson as an attorney very greatly. But Representative Jackson said one of the reasons to oppose this bill was because of the religious nature and character of the institution receiving the grant. In fact, it went on to say, if they didn't have these certain religious natures and characters and hiring practices, then they may be eligible to receive the grant on the basis of other secular institutions. Ladies and gentlemen, that's patently unconstitutional. In fact, it shows an extreme prejudice against religious and faith-based organizations that has been ruled unconstitutional. That comment alone poisons the well and gives rise to a constitutional challenge on an impermissible basis of prejudice. Faith-based organizations may work with government to provide secular services. The Supreme Court has never held that religious institutions are disabled by the First Amendment from participating publicly sponsored programs. The Supreme Court has affirmed in the context of grants that religious organizations, including houses of worship even, can participate in receiving grants. They do not have to compromise on their religious character as reflected in their hiring practices, board composition, mission statements, in order to participate on equal terms as secular organizations and agencies. The test is simply this. whether a legislative act withstands a establishment challenge requires that the act have a secular purpose and that its principal or primary effect neither advances nor inhibits religion. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing about this grant program that is tied to the religious nature, and it certainly advances a secular purpose. Therefore, on its face, those comments are unconstitutionally prejudicial. Ladies and gentlemen, I know the hour is late, but I'm extremely upset and angry that we continue to put forward, for political purposes, a fear tactic. And I think it has punctured and poisoned the well in this entire debate that may be the real reason that this grant is challenged. And I, for one, urge you to pass this bill and not succumb to an unconstitutional challenge.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell Rice.
To be recognized for a motion.
The gentleman is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the previous question.
Representative Bell has moved the previous question to House Bill 398 on its second reading. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 57 having voted in the affirmative and 45 in the negative. The previous question is adopted. Does the majority leader wish for 3 minutes to waive? Does minority leader wish for 3 minutes? All those being waived. The question before the House at this time is the passage of House Bill 398 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative and 49 the negative. House Bill 398 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
What purpose? Gentleman from Durham. Representative Hawkins rise.
To object.
It's a little late.
Well, you didn't, if I could be recognized.
Gentleman may stay. For what purpose, gentleman, wish to rise?
For a comment to the chair.
Gentleman is to debate the bill.
No, for an inquiry, for a comment to the chair.
Gentleman may state his question.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask why you didn't recognize me when my light was on, maybe for the last 3 or 4 minutes, and I could have made my objection and asked another question.
So, well, as has been the practice, when I say object without objection, someone generally says objection. There was nobody that said objection. If the gentleman wants to make a motion to delay the reading of the bill to another day, the gentleman can make that motion. If the gentleman wishes to debate the bill, he can, or
well,
those will be the
I'd
two options.
I'd like to be recognized for a motion.
The gentleman may state his motion.
I'd like to make a motion to refer this to the Committee on Higher Education.
And the gentleman has moved that the bill be referred to the Committee on Higher Education. Does the gentleman... on education universities. The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Mr. Speaker, there's been lots of debate about this bill from all colleagues, and I won't seek to regurgitate what my colleagues have said or not said, but based on the response from and the energized debate, this seems to need a little bit more conversation amongst our colleagues. We saw from the Autry Amendment that it was a tied vote on whether or not university dollars should be reconsidered for university purposes. I think that we have listed the number of other UNC system schools that have similar programs that should be supported. And I think as you've heard through all of the conversation, many of our colleagues believe that there should just be a consideration of those schools, and that in the very beginning of this process, they should have been heavily sought out to first see what existed inside the university system before we made this incredible effort to give $20 million to this private institution. And so those are the reasons that I move that this be re-referred to the Committee on Higher Education Universities, Education Universities, so there can be a lot more conversation and we can actually see and put forth the ask for our universities to participate in this allocation. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate on the gentleman's motion to re-refer the bill. If not, the question for the House is the motion from Representative Hawkins that the bill be referred to the Committee on Education Universities. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 49 having voted in the affirmative and 54 in the negative, the motion fails. Now the bill on third reading. Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House is the passage of House Bill 398 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. Did someone call division? Division not being called. Chair declares that House Bill 398 has passed its third reading. And the bill will be sent to the Senate. Mr. Clerk, Chair is going to take Senate Bill 144. Chair directs be removed from today's calendar, calendar for Monday evening. Members, there is one quick matter that maybe we can get a unanimous vote here on one. There is a bill, House Bill 470, the title of that bill is Administration of Justice Changes. The chair is informed this simply needs to be a motion not to concur. And so the bill presently is in rules. Chair directs the bill be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules calendar. Is there objection to this bill being added to today's calendar on a non-concurrence vote? Hearing none, the bill is added to today's calendar for immediate consideration. Clerk will read.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 470, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes and technical corrections to the law governing the administration of justice. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Jump from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House do not concur with the Senate Committee's substitute to House Bill 470 and that conferees be appointed to resolve the differences.
The gentleman's moved the House do not concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 470. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representatives Arp and Jackson, I see you gentlemen in a conversation. Is that aye for both of you guys? Arp, is that an aye? Arp and Jackson voting aye. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 103 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The House does not concur with the Senate Committee substitute to House Bill 470, and the Senate will be so notified. For our purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell Rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans will caucus Monday at 5:30. Please look to your email for the location. Thank you.
For what purpose, we're now into notices and announcements. For what purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White Rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The lady has the floor.
I just wanted to let the House know that one of our sergeant-at-arms lost his home yesterday in a major fire in Johnston County. He's one of my constituents, David Lithicum. So we just need to remember him in our thoughts and prayers.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin, rise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we learned earlier this week that it's a very rare thing when you've got an October birthday to be recognized on the House floor, because in past sessions, we generally are not here in October. So I'm glad that we October babies have had the chance to be recognized on the House floor, but when some of us were recognized earlier this week, we neglected and omitted one of the best October babies of them all. And when I say babies, he's actually pretty darn young. So join me today in wishing a very happy birthday to Representative Chaz Beasley.
Members, we're still in session. I ask members, please, to keep the conversations down. For what purpose, the gentleman from Watauga, Representative Russell, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman has the floor.
I just want to say I'm a proud faculty member at Appalachian State University. I've been there 29 years, but I also want to say that I have been a proud faculty member of small private religious schools in my career, and I just want to make that note. Thank you.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise.
Well, again, we are in the birthday season in October. Seems to be everybody on this side of the aisle has an October birthday, but Representative Farmer Butterfield had a birthday earlier this week. Let's recognize her for her happy birthday. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To all of those of us who will be traveling through Greensboro, North Carolina, I want to let you know that this is the time of the year that North Carolina A&T is hosting the greatest homecoming on earth. I would invite you to please stop, get some gas, spend some money, and enjoy Aggie Pride. Yeah.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Davidson, Representative Jarvis, rise?
Point of personal privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
I just wanted to invite everybody to a festival this weekend that's been named one of the top 10 places in America to celebrate food by USA Today. And that would be my colleague, Representative Potts, and myself, if you'd join us to come eat some good barbecue in Lexington, North Carolina, at the barbecue festival. Thank you.
Thank you. And we're going to offer some scholarships from those from Eastern North Carolina so that they can make the trip and have some really good barbecue as well. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise?
Mr. Speaker, inquire the chair, please.
The gentleman has the floor.
I'm trying to get a jump start on next week so I can make sure that I go through Greensboro and get some fuel.
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get a jump start on next week so I can go through Greensboro to get some Aggie Pride, to get some fuel, contribute something to that small community. But I need to know what the calendar looked like for next week.
Looks like Monday through Thursday of next week. And as always, if we can finish up early on Thursday, we'll try to do that. Just not sure. Of course, we're waiting on a few things that are still out there. And, of course, the budget is still the one major item of unfinished business that's still there.
Monday then, Mr. Speaker.
Seven p.m. session.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. It'll be a standard Monday session. Any further notices or announcements? If not, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, it appears this motion has been hacked along the way, so let me try to get it right. I move that the House adjourn to reconvene Monday, October 28th at 7 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Dixon, in honor of the Western Barbecue Festival, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Monday, October 28th, at 7 p.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. We stand adjourned.
Representative Dixon is recognized to send forth a conference report. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 315. to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conferees appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 315, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the agriculture laws of the state. House Committee Substitute Favorable 7119. House Committee Substitute Number 2 Favorable 71719. House Committee Substitute Number 3 Favorable 72519. House Committee Substitute Number 4 Favorable 82019. 10th edition engrossed 82119. Submit the following report. The conference recommended that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Conference from the Senate. Date conferees approved report October 24, 2019. Conferees from the Senate. Senator Jackson, Chair. Senators Sanderson, Johnson, Daniel, and Davis. Conferees of the House of Representatives. Representative Dixon, Chair. Representatives Strickland, Brisson, Lewis, McNeil, Barnes, and Bell.
Pursuant to Rule 44, the conference report with the bills placed on the calendar for Monday, October 28th. Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read. The clerk suspended continuation of reading of messages from the Senate.
Special message from the Senate. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopted reports of conferees for House Bill 399, conference report. A bill to be entitled an act to make certain tax changes, to extend certain tax benefits, and to appropriate funds for collections, assistance fees, special funds to the Department of Revenue. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and rolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Conference report having been adopted by both chambers, the bill is ordered and rolled and sent to the Governor.
Senate Bill 578, Committee Substitutes, Second Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to reduce the franchise tax and modify film grant limits.
Senate Bill 578 is referred to the Committee on Finance. Special messages from the Senate. Special message from the Senate. The following special message is received from the Senate. Senate Bill 557, Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to increase the standard deduction to expand the definition of holding company for franchise tax purposes to implement market-based sourcing for multi-state income tax apportionment to require certain marketplace facilitators to collect sales tax, to direct revenue laws, to study certain tax sunset provisions, and to make technical corrections. Senate Bill 557, being read a first time, is referred to the Committee on Finance. Further special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, October 24th, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 690, conference report of bills to be entitled, an act to make modifications to the appointments made in the 2019 Appointments Bill, and to appoint persons to various public offices upon the recommendation of the President pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. When the appropriate action has been taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully signed, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted.